coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now from Manila, Philippines, here's Art.
My guest is Freddy Silva. He gave up a very lucrative career in modern commerce to begin a lifelong study of crop circles. And what he said so far has been absolutely fascinating in the sense that he says that the real circles, and there are real circles, folks, are sending a message to us that, in effect, we, through our mass consciousness, have sent out a plea, a message to whoever, to help us because of the state of our world. An interesting theory, to be sure, and that what we're receiving in the real circles is an answer to that question. And Don in Campbell, California, fast blasts me a really intriguing proposition. He says, "Hey, Art, has anybody ever thought of doing a project to do a man-made crop circle to communicate with whoever it is or whatever it is that's talking to us? In other words, if we can discern what they're saying to us and it really is some sort of warning, then why not, once we have decrypted it to some degree, attempt to answer and establish some kind of communication with whoever it is that's sending these messages to us?" That question to Freddy in a moment. Clearly, we'll get back to the Barbary Castle business in a moment. But, Freddie, I really do want to ask you about... And you know what? Before I do any of that, you're nice enough to be here. Let me plug your book. The book is Secrets in the Fields, The Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles. That's a cool title, Secrets in the Fields, The Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles. Available, I assume, I don't know, Amazon.com, the usual, right?
Well, if you want to support your local author, come to my website. because then I get at least 50% of royalties if you come to my website, and there's a lovely special offer on there as well.
And oh, no kidding. In other words, you make more money if they come to your website and buy it there.
You'd be surprised how little people make when it goes to a store.
No, Freddie, I would not. I've got a few books under my belt. I'm well aware of how it works, or it doesn't work, more likely. So if they come to your website, what is the special offer?
Actually, there's a DVD that I'm offering with the book, so you get two for a reduced price, and it gets bundled together as a big package, and it gets sent off to you in a couple of days.
Okay, and your website is?
CropCircleSecrets.org.
CropCircleSecrets.org. All right. Don in Campbell, California really did come up with what I thought was an excellent one, and that is, if we have to some degree begun to discern, and if the Barbary Castle thing is true, then certainly we have, what these crop circles mean, then what about the idea of, in essence, answering them with a crop circle?
It's a great question. It has been done, and it's had mixed success. The most famous case I can put my finger on, and it was a very, very good exercise because it had employed archaeocryptographers, it employed psychics, it employed field researchers, and so on. There was a group of about, I don't know, 12 people who got together one day and said, well, why don't we try to locate through logic and mathematics a very special place on the Earth's surface, especially in England, where we can actually sit down at a very special place where the harmonics are just right. We will pay the farmer for a small piece of his field, and through our combined intent to communicate, we want to find out if there's a consciousness behind this. Mm-hmm. And this is what this group of people did. And they basically sat down, designed based on pure mathematics and harmonics, laid it down on intersecting lines of the Earth's magnetic field, which happened to cross, they're everywhere, but specifically in this one field in south of England. Mm-hmm. And they created this man-made design, small design, which is basically a triangle with a hole in the center, or a big circle in the center, with three circles on the outside of the triangle. And then they sat down around it, and they just meditated. They just sent out the intent between the 12 of them. They said, we would wish to receive a communication to show us, demonstrate to us that we are dealing with a conscious source.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few days went by, nothing happened. A couple of weeks went by, nothing happened. And then suddenly, one day, a pilot was out on his usual daily reconnaissance, and he came across a crop circle, which actually was the triangle with all the circles from the outside put inside the actual design. In other words, the original makers, the people, had left the hole in the center with the circles outside, and the circle...
Back up just a little bit for me, Freddie. What was the intended message of the designed crop circle?
It was simply to communicate to an intelligence, if there was an intelligence out there, that they had that the people down here, the human makers, had made a design based on pure mathematics, which is the language of the universe. It's just like in the film Contact, basically. Pure mathematics, pure geometry. And they created that shape to try and communicate to a conscious source out there, because if the source that was receiving this message was conscious and intelligent, it would do something with the design.
I guess what I'm asking is, did the design have a specific message mathematically?
No, not specifically. It was the intent that the people had. That was the specific reason behind it. It was to communicate.
Okay, and so then a pilot spotted one that had taken the circles and placed them inside.
Inside, as if they filled the actual gap. And the interesting thing was that the design that was created by the circle-making force was 100 times exactly the diameter of the original that the people had made. But here's the interesting thing. The original design that was made by this team had used a very unusual form of measurement. They had based it on the ancient system of measurement called the megalithic yard, which was the unit of measure favored by people who built Stonehenge and the pyramids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this unit of measure is very, very important. And this design that appeared as a answer to the researchers used that unit of measure to exactly 100 times the size of the original. So beyond doubt, there was beyond coincidental doubt that this was a reply to their intent.
Wow, that is impressive, certainly. All right, back to Barbara Kessel for a moment. You said that a man had created a machine that actually achieved levitation, and you are protecting this man's identity. Surely, Freddie, you've got to pursue this, and, you know, if that's real, that would break the whole thing just wide open. So where do we go with this?
At the time that I was writing the book, I had talked to this gentleman, and he was, you know, quite happy for me to, you know, use his information. By the time we got to the editing stage and down to the galley proofs of the book, I contacted him again just to make sure that everything was okay, that I wasn't breaking any confidence. And something had happened in that meantime. He got very, very spooked. And I mean, I've spoken to people, you know, throughout my research, and I know when some kind of heat's been put on them. And he basically just wanted to go very quiet, very underground. And it's almost like the story that you hear of people who design carburetors for cars that run on 100 gallons, you know,
right.
100 miles per gallon. They disappear, and they suddenly get very frightened. And that's when he asked me not to mention his name or anything. I just alluded to his work in my book just to let people know that it's out there and it's being worked on, because I think that he's feeling the heat from somewhere. And I'm just being true to my word that I will not reveal the source. But what I can say is that there is published information from another source which is also working on very similar principles. And this is the work of David Percy and David Myers. David Percy actually co-wrote Dark Moon, which is about the supposed faked Apollo moon landings.
Yes.
And also a book, an incredible book called Two Thirds. It's really a mind-blowing book. It's not for the faint-hearted. And in there, they actually note all the technical information that they have reconstructed from the crop circles, which also has enabled them to technically create blueprints, which enable for the construction of spinning disc technology, which allows for anti-gravitational devices.
All right, Freddie, let me again stop you very quickly. There was a man I interviewed several years ago, Freddie, He was an airline pilot. I think I don't know whether I told you this story previously or not. But by profession, he was an airline pilot, fascinated with crop circles. And he did not give up his career as an airline pilot. But what he had done, Freddie, is he had taken crop circles and made several cutout designs of these crop circles, and then used an old phonograph, the old style spinning phonograph, and had begun to spin the crop circles. And what he had started to discern from that was that there was when they were spinning, there was a three-dimensional aspect to the crop circles that nobody had ever seen before. Have you heard about this?
Absolutely, and I think he was starting to get onto something, and inevitably he also validated more of Isabel Kingston's channelings, because what the watchers were saying was that what we're looking at, these pretty shapes, we're looking at the two-dimensional slice of an orange. We're looking at an energy form which has three-dimensional and possibly four-dimensional capability. And we've proved that since with magnetometer surveys that show that the energy of the circles goes under the ground, and also the pilots are having problems above the ground. So what we're looking at is just a two-dimensional shape. I think his name was Doug Ruby, if I'm not mistaken.
That is exactly right.
Yes, and he began to actually look at this. I don't know if he was actually aware of this channeled information, but he started the ball rolling. And then with the work of David Myers and Percy, they actually took it to the mathematical level where they extracted the information and actually have made the blueprints. And as far as I'm aware, they're looking for funding at the moment to actually build this machine, which will have anti-gravitational properties, again, just as the watchers have mentioned.
But would that be from the same Barbary Castle design?
This would be a series of other designs which could be superimposed one on top of the other. And that's how they were able to discern how that was done. So it seems as if there's different designs of crop circles bearing different types of technical data.
Boy, this is beginning to sound more and more like the movie Contact all the time, isn't it?
Oh, tell me, when I first saw that movie in the cinema, I mean, I nearly cried, because I was watching the life of myself and many of my fellow researchers unfolding in front of me. It was so uncannily close to reality. And also Close Encounters as well, that obsession with wanting to know the coincidences between people from different parts of the world that come together to share the same vision. These things are very uncannily similar.
Where does most of the work need to be done? Is most of it mathematical? In other words, do we need a team of mathematicians working on this, or who?
Different types of people are being brought into the awareness because the symbols, again, just like hieroglyphs, they mean different things to different people depending on your point of view, and all of them will be absolutely correct. So there's one symbol in my book that people say, well, that looks just like the hieroglyph for divine vibration. And I said, it's absolutely right, but you know what? If you're a biologist, it looks like the centrosome of a human cell. And both will be exactly right. So the symbols are waking people up from different parts of life. And I know that people are quietly beavering away in their houses, working away quietly. People from NASA have emailed me demanding more information, and they'll say, on no account, return this email back to NASA, because NASA apparently is taking a huge interest in the circles, but they will never, never make this public. So there are people within that organization who are taking on their own little projects at home. And again, it's the fear that, if they get found out that this is breaking some kind of national security or whatever, they'll get found out, and then the heat will be put on them. I mean, you know how it works. So I know that there are people quietly beavering away at all of this, and all will be revealed in its due time, I think.
All right, so you know for a fact that NASA has their fingers into the crop circle community and is figuring out or trying to figure out what's going on, trying to get as much information as they can. Do you really have proof of that, Freddie?
No, but only from this email from this technician that works there, that he was telling me that there is a lot of interest within that organization. They actually take it quite seriously. They're keeping a good eye on it. And the way I can validate that is the same way that happened in Britain in the late 1980s and early 1990s, when the British government was instrumental in debunking the subject. But in the meantime, the military was still keeping it under observation. So clearly people within the system are intrigued as to what's going on, but of course they won't admit it, because to admit that is to admit that we are dealing with a supernatural phenomenon, and of course they can't do that.
Mm-hmm. You referred to the Watchers as a group that could send a message in the manner that we've received them with crop circles, but not actually affect anything, correct?
Pretty much so, because the reason why they called themselves the Watchers, which I thought was very interesting, was that the fact that they can't directly intervene. It's almost sounds like Gene Roddenberry's Prime Directive in Star Trek, which is actually very close to reality, because Gene himself used to attend seances with a trans medium, and if you look at the transcripts and then look at the next generation of the series, you'll find a lot of universal law buried in there, and the Watchers were saying the same thing, that they do not have permission to actually directly involve themselves in our affairs. Mm-hmm. They're just feeding us the information, and they hope that we, by our sense of will choose to act on this information and use it for the development and the betterment of our society.
I take it that you're familiar with the work going on at Princeton.
A little bit, yes.
A little bit. They are, of course, doing work in the mass consciousness field, and I'm just stabbing in the dark here, but I wonder if there's any mathematical correlation to some of the mass consciousness data that they receive and the data contained in a crop circle. This would be a job for a mathematical genius, but I wonder.
That's an interesting observation. I hadn't actually put the two together, but what I do know is that the Watchers were saying that the information contained in the symbols also is there to awaken humanity at a spiritual level, because the geometric codes that are encoded within the visual design, but you literally have to sit there and draw this information out of it, does actually correlate to the same geometric structures which are inherent in the human body and its chemical makeup. So it's as if the geometry itself is part of the message. It's part of our coding. And that coding is also speaking to us at a subconscious level that helps us to remember who we are and our function here, which is, you know, presumably why they also use the same type of spiritual technology, as I call it, encoded in places like Stonehenge and the pyramids and the Gothic cathedrals, why the Templars died, you know, in their thousands to, you know, keep this information alive, you know, and why, you know, Dan Brown and Da Vinci Code starts bringing this information back up again. It seems to be part of a fundamental archetypal message, an archetypal language, which is hardwired into every living human being.
Freddie, is it true, Freddie, I'm sorry, that the Russians actually discovered that the sacred geometric shapes you're talking about have a concordant effect on people's awareness, even the rate of healing, for example?
Oh, absolutely. When the Berlin Wall came down, we had access, of course, to all the files that they had kept at the KGB in Moscow, and some great books were written about this and how the Russians, because they were so cash-strapped, they decided to look at all this ancient esoteric wisdom to find out if there was something true about the way that shape had a concordant effect on the human body and its state of awareness. Because if it was true, they could just build hospitals and buildings that would have an effect on people. And
that's right.
The Bulgarians especially went, you know, gang-ho on this idea. And they began to put people who were sick into rooms that were shaped like pentagrams. And they were amazed that people's rate of healing went up dramatically. They then went a stage further, and they built rooms shaped like trapezoids, and they put schizophrenic patients inside them. And they found that that shape had an incredible effect on their rate of healing. And they even discovered that when you put blood in a spherical shape, the rate of coagulation of the blood also goes up dramatically. So they basically validated the truth behind these ancient sacred sites, which were built on exactly the same principles of this geometry.
Did they do double-blind studies to prove this? I mean, when you say prove, that's a big word. Did they actually do double-blind studies that were able to prove this rate of healing, that sort of thing? I mean, that's amazing.
Yes, I believe they did. Yes. I'm trying to figure out my source. It was a book. All this information was preceded in the book called Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain, a very famous book by Sheila Ostrander. I think it was written back in 72. And I believe, yes, that it did do blind experiments, because that's one way of validating the scientific process to begin with.
All right, Freddie, hold tight. We're at the bottom of the hour here. Fascinating stuff. The subject is crop circles. My guest is Freddie Silva. His book, Secrets in the Fields, The Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles. I'm Art Bell.
Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed, and my guest is Freddie Silva. What a program. We're talking about crop circles, and much of it in a way that we've never talked about them before. The communication going on, why it's going on, what this is all about. Most crop circles actually form between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, apparently. That would be local time, I guess, wherever they're formed. And there's probably a reason to why they form at about that time. In a moment, we will ask. Once again, Freddie Silva. And Freddie, is it true that most crop circles do appear between 2 and 3 in the morning local time at whatever the geographic location of their appearance?
It appears to be the case, just based on eyewitness reports and just the general accounts that we've had over the years. And it intrigued me. I facetiously at the time I was saying that they appear at that time because they like to keep things kind of quiet, and most rational people, should be locked away at home in their beds at that time, doing nothing but sleeping instead of being out in the fields watching them happen. And then I came across the most incredible piece of information from the Imperial College of Medicine in London, where they had actually documented on record that 95% of all recorded deaths in hospitals from around the world always happen between 2 and 3 in the morning. And it got me wondering that is there something to do with this particular window of opportunity where it allows a window of opportunity where the soul is able to leave the body, go back to its source, but it also creates a window where information can come to the earth. And, of course, at 2 and 3 in the morning, local time, is the point on the Earth which is furthest away from the sun, which means that the magnetic field of the area also happens to be having a little snooze on its own. So
right.
It's as if the planet's defenses are sort of slightly letting their guard down, and it's allowing information to come in the shape of, of crop circles. And, of course, we know that the crop circles themselves also have a deviation of the local magnetic field, and they also always appear on the crossing points of the Earth's magnetic lines of energy. So there seems to be a correlation definitely taking place between that.
Fascinating. Also, the speed with which crop circles form. Now, over the years, interviewing Lynn Moulton Howe and others, we've learned that there have been, for example, people who have filmed the formation of crop circle associated with the balls of moving light. So what do we know about how quickly these are formed?
Well, back in the early 80s, when none of this information was ever made public, the database showed that there are at least 80 eyewitnesses from all around the world, from Britain, from British Columbia, Japan. All of this stuff was never published, never made public. And all the eyewitness accounts always seem to corroborate one another, that no matter what size these things were, they always seem to be created within about 15 seconds. And then the most wondrous thing happened one year in 1988 when a surveillance team of researchers and camera people from all around the world gathered on top of this hill in southern England, and they did a stakeout over a field which over the years had been, you know, proved very prolific in circle making. So they kept themselves out for 2 weeks, and this is the site of the infamous hoax that was perpetrated by the British military, because on the second night, when all the researchers went to bed early, the military went out, made a crop circle in the middle of the dark, and in the morning, there it was. And it was a very rough series of circles and very crooked lines, but it convinced the press that the whole thing was a big prank, because at the center of each of these rough circles was a horoscope board game and some wooden crosses pointing the finger at occultists and people like that. So everybody went home convinced that the whole thing was a great big joke, except for a Japanese camera crew who had gone all the way to England, and they thought, well, we're here, we might as well stick around and see what else pops up. And they were rewarded when on the last day of the 2 week stakeout, they caught on night vision camera, right at the very edge of the limit of their equipment, a swirl motion manifesting in the crop, which lasted less than 15 seconds, and it completely validated all the eyewitness accounts. And you may wonder, you know, what happened to this famous tape? I mean, it should have been front page news around the world. Well, the story goes that the Japanese TV crew were under contract with the BBC, that should they capture anything on tape, the tapes would be given to the BBC under license. Well, would you believe that the British Broadcasting Corporation lost the tapes? It would be akin to someone losing the tapes of the Kennedy assassination. I mean, you just don't lose something.
Or say
like
an Apollo mission, for example, or maybe the records of Roswell, or akin to something like that. Huh?
Isn't it interesting? I know, it's very funny. I mean, I've worked in broadcasting for many, many years, and I can tell you that just doesn't happen. I mean, once in a while, maybe, but it just never happens. But
on the very rare occasions when it does happen, Freddie, it seems to happen to records of things just like this.
Exactly. It's all very, very strange.
Do you know offhand which lettered agencies, Freddie, are taking the aside from NASA, are taking the most interest in this phenomena?
It's always hard to say. If you're dealing with people who try to keep things secret, then obviously the information coming from out of them is always hearsay, or sometimes someone has a contact somewhere within an organization that might spill the beans. But the best information that we had in Britain in the late 80s came from people who were actually researching the subject night and day, who themselves had contacts within the British government. And one man in particular, George Wingfield, and this is already published information, so I'm not betraying any confidence, he had contacts within the British military who had actually said that they had worked with the within the Northern Ireland conflict. And for many years, the British government had orchestrated this fictitious press agency that kept feeding information, you know, not exactly truthful information about the Northern Ireland conflict, and supplied it to the media. Well, it turns out that when he investigated the source of the report from which came Doug and Dave, the, you know, the two famous 60-year-old guys who said that they made every crop circle in the world, sometimes even five in one evening across different countries. Amazing.
By the way, what are Doug and Dave up to these days? Have there been follow-up interviews, and what are they saying now?
Well, one of them should know better because he's dead. He's probably being spanked very heavily by God at this very moment for having gone out and telling porkies. The other one has gone very quiet, although I did catch early traction from him in the British press, buried somewhere on page 28 on the 28th of December, 1998, which is a great time to find out, great retractions of information, because no one's paying any attention to the media in between Christmas and the New Year. And the headline stated in this one column, I was guided by an unknown force, claims Crop Circle hoaxer. So it seems that even the world's most famous guy who claims to have made all these crop circles himself was guided by an unknown force, which, going back to the George Wingfield story, apparently came from this fictitious press agency that was originally set up to provide bogus information about the Northern Ireland conflict. So MI5 is a good acronym to bear in mind. It's the British Secret Service, in other words. But in the meantime, when they finally came up with Doug and Dave's story to the media, they were still keeping tabs on what was going on. You know, people's phones were being tapped and so forth.
Jim in Virginia Beach, Virginia asks, does Freddie consider any of the crop circles made in the UK this summer to be authentic? His website, last updated in early August, says he believes most up until that time were fake, question mark, but they seem to be so complicated and beyond human capability to manufacture.
I hate to be the bringer of bad news, but so far there's nothing this year that I've seen that looks anything closely resembling a real crop circle from England. The real ones seem to be here in America and also in Australia and in Hungary, and they're simple designs. What's happening is, and this is not to say that the phenomenon's gone away, it's just that some years it goes up in numbers, some years it goes down, because the force that's working with it also has to work with natural principles, and sometimes the natural elements are there to work with, and some years that they're not. It's like a tide, it goes in and out, just like in nature. But this year what we're seeing a lot of is farmers who are actually taking the money from groups to make designs in their field. Now, when you have the farmer's permission to make something on their land, first of all, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands because you are immune from prosecution. Now, that's a pretty good way to start. Two, I'm watching a lot of the more complex designs being made in fields which are well away from any public areas, which means, again, they can work within the cover of daytime. And I know that a couple of the so-called Mayan design ones, I have actual pictorial evidence to suggest that the people who made them first started off up in the Midlands, in the north of England, and then it came down to the Silbury area. And when they tried to do it in an area which is much more policed by people, they were actually caught making it.
You know, I was just about to ask about that, Freddie, because one of the things that had always been said about crop circles was, well, you know, in all this time, with all these crop circles, if 80 or 85% of them are fake, nobody's ever been caught. But you're telling me quite the contrary. There have been some caught. Is that so?
Yes, they have been caught much more regularly than is being mentioned. I mean, I mentioned this on my website as an antidote to the other websites that are out there. even when I lived in England, I was right in the heart of the whole mystery. So, I mean, I was catching them myself as well. Other researchers have caught them as well. But it never seems to make the headlines. Yeah, I mean, over the last few years, because the hoaxes are getting much more cunning and cocky, they're also getting a bit overconfident, and they are taking a lot longer to create these intricate designs, and they are being caught in the middle of it. I mean, 2 years ago, and again, I showed this on my website, there was one design in the Vale of Pewsey where we get a lot of these designs. It shows the design in progress over several nights, and even shows the actual construction lines in place where the following evening they come over and fill a few more. And I've even spoken to people, even at my lectures, that have come up to me and said, well, you know, we actually caught these people making these designs one evening, and we got their names, and the names actually correlate to some of the known hoaxes that we know are out there already. So, yes, they are out there, and they are being caught making them. So it's quite ironic that just as they're getting more complex, as the human ones are getting more complex, the phenomenon itself is getting simpler and simpler. It's a strange irony. So, but I suspect that next year we're going to see some another level of complexity in the genuine ones as well.
Why do you suspect that?
Because it goes up and down. Historically, when I look at all the information that we've culled from the last two decades, it seems to follow a natural wave, just like you find in nature. It goes up and down and up and down. And I think we're into that sort of down cycle. And there, another reason behind this is that the real crop circles also rely on water. They require water as a prerequisite for making the circles. And we had a major drought in Britain this year. So back in February, I was saying we are not going to see any crop circles this year because there's no water there. They need it to counterbalance the heating effects of the energy that they're working with. And this is also historically proved throughout the history of the phenomenon. Whenever we've had a drought in England, the crop circles retreat as well. And thirdly, because there's so much information still to be deciphered from the amount of information that they've given us, simply giving us even more information is just adding to the plate that we already have that was already overflowing, and we simply do not have the people, the means, or the money to keep investigating more circles that keep popping up. We need to go back to what's already been culled from the information that's already been gathered and go back to what was happening in the 80s and the 90s because there's so much information there. So that's just three reasons as to why it's sort of it's a little bit on the ebb at the moment, but they are beautiful to look at anyway, despite the vandalism to the crops. But then again, as I always point out to people, a Gothic cathedral and Stonehenge are also man-made, and they also have exactly the same technology that goes into the crop circles. So appreciate them for what they are and enjoy them.
How in the world, I mean, it is the eternal question, some of these very large ones that just seem absolutely impossible for humans to have done in the dark of night. You know, they are so very precise. I mean, a lot of people want to know, Freddie, how in the world how's it done?
Well,
not Doug and Dave style, to be sure.
The Doug and Dave style. I mean, some of the complex ones are also genuine. There's a, you know, the both camps are at work here. Let's put this into context. There's still very much a genuine phenomenon going on. I mean, a hoax by theory is a forgery, so a forgery has to borrow from an original. But the more complex ones, what's happening is that there are groups, very large groups of people, up to 12 people in one case, who are involved in coordinating this thing from many points. So when you have 12 people working in tandem, and some of these groups have been doing this for 5, 8 years, so they're not exactly new to this. They're really quite practiced. You can get a lot of work done in a relatively short space of time. And as I say, when you've paid the farmer off and you're working in a piece of land which is well away from public scrutiny, you often take a day or two to do this thing properly. And from the air, some of these look very, very beautiful, but the evidence on the ground gives the game away, and that is the amount of damage that they've caused because of all the flattening, the mechanical flattening, the lack of electromagnetic frequencies, the anomalies are missing. And most tellingly of all, when you lift up the crop, you can see all the tracer lines on the ground that they've actually used to outline the design, and then they come
in. Exactly. I mean, you would have to see boot prints, you'd see, as you point out, tracer lines, all kinds of things that would be done in a mechanical effort. I mean, it should be fairly obvious, and you're saying it is.
I mean, to me it is, but I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, so anybody who's got a pretty good eye and also an objective point of view, and I have to admit, it's very difficult sometimes to keep an objective point of view because you're so excited by the whole thing. It's to someone who does it day in, day out, you can begin to tell the difference, and the other difference is, I'm talking here on an etherical level now, the number of times that you go into genuine crop circles, you also start to suck up the energy like a sponge. And I mean, I get to the point where I actually start feeling a little bit uncomfortable in the genuine ones now because I've soaked up so much energy in my body over the years that I just feel better just staying outside of them or just going into them for a little bit of time, just making sure that I know what I'm looking at, being satisfied and coming back out again. Because all the frequencies which are vibrating in the genuine designs are also vibrating the water molecules in your body. And if you start feeling a little queasy, then it's time to leave as well.
All right. Well, that actually brings up another topic. You yourself, Freddie, said you had a life-changing experience in a crop circle. Can you describe to us what happened to you, where and when, and all the rest of it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a day that I can definitely say I stopped being an atheist and I started believing in God in the biggest sense because it changed my life. And I had no idea that this was going to happen either. And what happened was that by 1997, I began to reach the conclusion that a lot of the stuff that was being created with the crop circles was based on sound. And I wanted to go and validate that. And I wanted also to go to the fields in England to honored that because I felt that there was a communication that was being handed to me subconsciously. Some of this information just—it was almost as if I was having stuff being spoken in my ear, and I just kept writing the stuff down. So I wanted to go and lie in a crop circle and just give thanks to the source that had been providing this information, because I was feeling very, very guided, but I was still a little bit somewhat sort of skeptical. So one evening, one day I walked into this design in 1997, and I had an immediate recollection of the design. I just knew what it was. Even though from the ground level it was very hard to make out, I just felt very much at home. And I said to my friends, I said, I want to come back in here tonight with a little bit of music, and just honor the space and just ask about the connection to sound and light and see how these things are made. Well, I went back there about 11 o'clock at night, pitch dark, and I just laid down. I put this little piece of music next to me on this boombox, lay down, and the next thing I remember in the middle of the night was this incredible bright light shining above me. It's the kind of light that beams in your eyes first thing in the morning when the sun is beeping through the shutters in your window, and your eyes start flickering because it's so bright. Well, I have to say that at the time that I felt very, very frightened, because I suddenly felt that perhaps I was about to be abducted or something, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to open my eyes at this stage. I don't know what's above me. And it was kind of comical and frightening at the same time. But the next thing I remember, something hit me on the back of the shoulder, and it created no pain. It was like a very dull thud with a very large baseball bat. And I remember losing all my trepidation, and I felt light as a feather. And the next thing I remember was watching my hands and my arms float past me, and I thought, that's interesting. And I couldn't feel the ground below me anymore. I was literally levitating. And it was the strangest sensation, but I felt so at peace. And the next thing I remember, and I remember this vividly, there were three very, very tall beings either side of me, two at the bottom of my feet. One was sort of making interesting gestures with his hands.
Wow.
And it was the most incredible, unconditional love I've ever felt in my entire life.
All right, Freddie, hold that thought. We're going to come back to that after the break. We're at the top of the hour once again. Freddie Silva is my guest. And once again, his book, what an elegant title, Secrets in the Fields, The Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles. From Southeast Asia, I'm Art Bell.